Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. Plenty to get to. Falcons and Commanders obviously coming up on Sunday. We'll get a full-scale updated injury report for you before we get out of here. But I want to start with what we heard from Dan Quinn's press conference this afternoon. And to me, where things currently sit right now, as we're 48 hours away from, and wow, I guess I got to really sit and think about this. The biggest game since when? Phone lines are open all night on that. 1-800-636-1067. Commanders with a huge showdown Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. And the way things go, they could potentially have a playoff spot locked up before they even hit the field on Sunday night. So a lot of things can go in their favor. It feels like, from a momentum standpoint, the fellas are confident and riding high after last week's big-time victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. And it was a treat to watch. We talked about it a lot yesterday. If you joined me during Grant and Danny yesterday, sitting in for the fellas, you know, we touched on the quarterback a lot. And I continue to feel like, as we get closer and closer to game time, I continue to feel like, man, yes, I have reservations about their ability to win Sunday based off of the injury report. But as we continue to learn week in and week out, when Jaden Daniels is under center, this group has a real legit opportunity to beat just about anybody. Now, our beautiful web people do an awesome job aggregating the segments into story clips. And one of the clips aggregated yesterday was from a segment we did where I asked a very simple routine question. And I was not being facetious when I asked the question. As we sit here with two games left to go in the regular season, there are five MVP finalists, right? Each and every year. Based on what we've seen through 15 games, does Jaden Daniels deserve to be one of the five MVP finalists? Touch on that all night long. 1-800-636-1067. Let's get to the injury report here real quick. We'll let you hear from Dan Quinn in bits and pieces as the show rolls on here. But the big news in terms of game status is pretty interesting. So, Marshon Lattimore officially ruled out with the hamstring injury. Now, the concern, and we didn't know this yesterday, it was pure speculation. The concern is that Marshon Lattimore had tweaked the same hamstring that caused him to miss significant time leading up to his debut. And I feel like not having Marshon Lattimore this weekend is going to be a big deal. And we'll take your calls on this. 1-800-636-1067. De'Ami Brown ruled out with a hamstring. Marshon Lattimore ruled out with the hamstring injury. Jordan McGee, the young pup out of Temple, ruled out with a hamstring injury. Tyler Owens, the special teams war daddy, out with an ankle injury. And Andrew Wiley missing this week's game with a groin injury. If you remember the waning moments of the game Sunday against Philadelphia, you saw Wiley go down, and Cornelius Lucas finished the game. Now, depending on who you ask, right, there are some folks in the media contingent, there are some folks within the fan base that actually prefer Cornelius Lucas to Andrew Wiley. But we will see how things shake out this week with Corn Lucas getting 100% of the snaps, I assume. But I want to open the show up with this. Out of the guys that have been ruled out, Andrew Wiley, Marshon Lattimore, De'Ami Brown. Of the three starters that have been ruled out, we're not going to talk too much about Jordan McGee and Tyler Owens because their impact is mainly on the special team side. In terms of the regular down-in, down-out starters that have already been ruled out for Sunday, De'Ami Brown with a hamstring, Marshon Lattimore with a hamstring, Andrew Wiley with a groin, who do you think Washington ultimately misses the most? You can tweet at me as well as at NELL_BTP. I want to get to Lattimore here because once it was ruled that he would officially be out, this is what I say. We are the most fickle fan base in all of pro sports. I don't even want to just limit it to the National Football League. In all of pro sports, some of the commentary that you read online about how Marshon Lattimore played Sunday, it exposes the IQ of the fan base. I said it. Yes, it does. You can't tell me watching Sunday's contest that Marshon Lattimore is not a huge boost to this defense. I understand he gave up the touchdown in a press man situation where he didn't use his hands. He drove me up a wall. Drove me up a damn wall that he didn't put his hands on A.J. Brown. We understand that he had three pass interference penalties called against him. We understand he gives up the chunk play before the half. But Marshon Lattimore played really well Sunday, in my opinion. When you consider the circumstances, hasn't played in a while, new defense, and you're going up against a bona fide badass at the position talking about A.J. Brown, one of the absolute best we have right now in the sport. So I give him some leeway about how he played Sunday from that standpoint. But overall, when you add that context to it, I thought he played really well. So much so that I feel like Washington's defense, and maybe I'm overreacting to it, I think Washington's defense on Sunday will be significantly compromised without Lattimore being in the lineup. 110%. And I know a lot of you, and this is what frustrates me about our fan base, you all claim you want to win games, right? You all claim you're fans of the team and you root for the team, yet you talk about Benjamin St. Juice like he stole something from you. Seriously. He is going to have to be thrust into a pretty big role on Sunday. He is. He is going to be thrust into a pretty big role on Sunday because, look, Marshon Lattimore is ruled out. Now, Dan Quinn had some interesting comments earlier. He referenced Michael Davis. I said, what? When he talked about who would replace Marshon in the event that he was out, he talked about Benjamin St. Juice and Michael Davis. I'm just going to say this. Not a big fan of Mike Davis either. Just being real about it. And I'm one of the guys that has sat up here until I was blue in the face and tried to tell you all, Benjamin St. Juice is not as bad as we as fans make him out to be. I refuse to believe that. Now, is he a starting everyday corner on a good defense? Probably not, right? But when you consider what he does well, and some of you are probably thinking, well, what did he do well? He does do some things well. I look at... I'm laughing as I say this because I know how crazy it sounds. There are some of you out there that are going to try to question my acumen when I say he does things well. He does do things well. But as you all know, corner is a position more than any other in the National Football League, in my opinion, maybe outside of quarterback, that is heavily reliant upon confidence. You will not find a successful corner in the National Football League that's not confident. And I think at this juncture of the season, after gaff, after gaff, after gaff, we've reached a point with Benjamin St. Juice where I don't think he's playing with a supreme amount of confidence. We know how important that is for a young defensive back. But here's my thing about Benjamin St. Juice. And I understand some of you are probably like, dude, that was two seasons ago. You remember the 2022 version of Benjamin St. Juice. 2022 Benjamin St. Juice fed families. I'm hyperbolizing it, obviously, but he was a much better player. And I think what we're seeing from him now, first of all, I don't think his play on the outside was as poor as some folks made it out to be. I think there were some untimely penalties. I think there were a couple of explosives given up. But when you look at Benjamin St. Juice and his entire body of work this year, I still refuse to believe he is as bad as fans and, you know, I wouldn't even say some media members, because it feels like the media are really the only people that look at St. Juice objectively. I don't think he's as bad as we make it out to be. So with him starting Sunday, my big question is, how does Joe Witt change the defensive game plan? Because let's just be real about why Washington was able to solve their bugaboo issue of stopping the run. Because anyone that's played football at any level understands when a running quarterback is taken out of the equation, the numbers game is different, and it allowed Joe Witt and company to play with a heavy box. And I've given you the numbers on the box for Washington this year. Washington plays a light box, heading into Sunday rather, played a light box third most of the National Football League. How do you stop the run? What has been Washington's way of stopping the run? When they commit bodies to the box. And having Marshawn Lattimore gave them the confidence this past Sunday to keep 7-8 guys in the box. And it left Marshawn Lattimore on an island. It left Noah Igbinoghene on an island. It left Mikey Sainristil still on an island. And what you saw from Washington is what really happens in the NFL. This, to me, is a league-wide conversation, because I don't think it's just Washington that deals with this. The offenses in today's NFL are so damn good that it's rare that you see a defense that is, you know, locking up in both the run game and the pass game. I think a lot of the times as a defense, when you're putting together a game plan, you got to decide, what are we comfortable giving up? Right? You got to decide, what are we going to be okay allowing to happen? And I think the thought process was against Philadelphia, okay, no Jalen Hurts, make Kenny Pickett beat you. Newsflash, Sunday, up against Michael Penix Jr. and his second career start as a pro, that's going to be the game plan. Make Michael Penix beat you. And I'll be honest with you, I like the game plan. I like the game plan. I feel like that's the way to go Sunday if you're Washington. Through hell or high water, make Mike Penix beat you. That, to me, is what it's going to come down to here. Give you all the updated numbers on Washington's run defense, because this continues to be something that I'm puzzled by. The Washington Commanders coming out of Sunday's game, this is my worry spot for Sunday. How do they contain Bijan Robinson on a down-in, down-out basis? Well, the one thing that they've struggled with, as I continue to say, and we'll give you the most updated numbers here, Washington has played a light box, the third most of the National Football League. 59.1% of the time, the Commanders are playing with six or fewer guys in the box. I'm telling you now, the game plan Sunday is going to be to play a heavy box. It is going to be to make Michael Penix beat you. And I wonder, without Benjamin St. Juice, without Marshawn Lattimore, how long they stick with that game plan. Let me take you back to the Baltimore game the first time, when they played Baltimore back at M&T. And the first half, they decided, hey, we're going to load the box, and we're going to let the perimeter skill guys of Baltimore try and beat us. That's why you saw Zay Flowers go for $130 in the first half. And that second half, what was it? It was death by 1,000 paper cuts. It's Derrick Henry rumbling, stumbling, bumbling, taking defenders with him. That's what you're going to have to deal with Sunday. So that's my answer for it. 1-800-636-1067. Washington has ruled out three every down starters on this defense. It has been Andrew Wiley ruled out with a groin, De'Ami Brown ruled out with a hamstring, Marshawn Lattimore ruled out with a hamstring. Of the three every down starters that have been ruled out, who do you think Washington ultimately misses the most? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Kevin in D.C. What's going on, Kev?
Hey, what's up, man? Listening to you talk right here, you got me to get my thoughts together. I think Andrew Wiley going to be the biggest miss because without defense, without Marshawn Lattimore, we know what we had. And when they said the injury report and said he was out, I just cried because that made St. Juice back on the
field.
You can say what you want about St. Juice. He's a decent cornerback, but he's there. Every play, he's there. If he gets his head around, he has at least 6-7 interceptions if he turns his head.
You're right.
All he has to do is turn his head. Like, why is it like, I don't understand how the simple, casual fan that sits at home every day and watches football and play Madden know this, but a coach cannot get through to his head, turn and look for the ball.
Kevin, let me just say this to answer that. You don't think they're telling him? I know they're telling him to turn his head.
I knew it was bad. Andrew Wiley is going to be the biggest miss this week, more so than anything.
For sure. Kevin, I appreciate the call as always, brother. 1-800-636. You're good. 1-0-1-0-6-7. Kevin got a little excited. So I online won. But no, I understand it. And it kind of, what Kevin said, 100% fits the narrative that I continue to talk about with St. Juice. And I told you all the numbers a couple of weeks ago. When you look and compare Mike Samristil and Benjamin St. Juice, the numbers aren't. It isn't a huge difference, but the big difference, I would say, and this is what matters most to this organization, and I get it, the ball skills of Mikey Samristil, hell of a lot better. I say it all the time. Benjamin St. Juice has the ball skills of Ray Charles. Not even close. Even Ray can see it every once in a while. But to me, they're going to need him on Sunday, man. They are 100% going to need him on Sunday. And I don't think it's any question about it. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Three everyday starters ruled out for Sunday. No De'Ami Brown with a hamstring. No Marshawn Lattimore with a hamstring. No Andrew Wiley with the groin. Who do you think Washington ultimately ends up missing the most? Go to Vince and Ackie. What's going on, Vince? Happy holidays to you, brother.
What's up, little? Happy holidays to you too, man. Linnell, you know the answer to this question. Luke.
I got a job to do, Vince.
No, I know you do. So you got to do it. Lucas is going to be fine. De'Ami Brown not being on the field. Hopefully that means McCaffrey gets some more looks. We know Jay Crowder going to get a chance to run routes. But come on, man. BSJ, yeah. If I was still a cussing man, I would say some other words. I hear what you're saying with the game plan going to be. And honestly, that's what terrifies me the most because, to be completely real with you, I had no problem with Penis coming out of college outside of the fact that he had two reconstructed knees. Outside of that, he's a very good quarterback.
Man, he was my look. I had Caleb Williams 1. I had Jaden Daniels 2. And I had Michael Penix 3. I thought he was the third best guy in the class.
Right. So if the game plan is make him beat us.
He might beat us.
I feel like he's very smart enough to say, we're 25. Easy answer. Let's go dial him up. So it's terrifying for me that Lattimore's not on the field. With that being said, I drank the Redskin Kool-Aid, Commander's Kool-Aid, and got excited about Marshawn, knowing that in my gut that he was a walking injury and I shouldn't have got that excited about him, and now he's only proven to me what I knew already. If I'm being completely honest with you, the way I feel about him right now, we could cut him and cut our losses and figure it out later. I'm not trying to play this song and dance about is Marshawn going to play, is he not going to play.
I hear that.
We got the training staff to help him up. Let's just get rid of him, cut bait.
Vince, that's strong, brother. I appreciate you as always, my man. Get home safe. I knew there were some folks, and that's the other angle of this, right? You acquired a guy and you went after a guy that you knew had a spotty injury track record, and now he's hurt once again. Well, thank our first time out of the show. Appreciate y'all calling in. You can tweet at me. It's at NELL_BTP. Stay on the phone lines if you're there. And if you're not, get here. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Washington has ruled out De'Ami Brown, Marshawn Lattimore, as well as Andrew Wiley for Sunday's contest against the Atlanta Falcons. Which every down starter does Washington ultimately miss the most? I told you mine was Marshawn Lattimore. When we get back, I'll tell you the second guy that I'm extremely concerned about. It might surprise you. It's next on The Fan. Still rocking and rolling here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Phone lines open, 1-800-636-1067. Getting you geared up for Commanders and Falcons coming up on Sunday. A game of seismic proportions as Washington looking for its first 11-win season in a long, long, long time. The 10-5 start. Best start through 15 games since 1991. We're partying like it's 1991 here in the DMV. It feels like each and every week we get to watch this team. It's an absolute treat. And I'll say right now what I say every show. I personally think this is a football team, talking about the Commanders, that admittedly has a pretty limited ceiling, and that's okay. Because it's year one of a rebuild. You know what I care about the most? And it's hard, right, when you're in the midst of a 17, 18-week grind. It's hard to take a step back and say, look, what really matters when it comes to the 2024 Washington Commanders? 27 years of age, right? For the first time in my lifetime, ownership, GM, head coach, all on the same page. And when you look at the elite teams right now in the National Football League, that's the formula. So no matter what happens the rest of the way, dub this year a success. I say all that to say this. Scared as hell about Sunday against Atlanta, and here's why. When you look at the Falcons, take the record out for a second. And they're, what, 8-7 battling for, you know, the top spot right now in the NFC South. When you look at Atlanta, and I understand last week was against the Giants, I think we, of all fan bases, should understand the type of spark a change at quarterback can have for an organization. And I think we're seeing that right now with the Atlanta Falcons, albeit it was against the lowly New York Giants. I get that. But in terms of the way that defense flew around, in terms of the way the play calling changed, and that's the thing to me that I kind of, I don't want to say concerned, but I think this week you are going to see the defensive staff, Joe Witt Jr. and company, earn their money. Because here's why. When Kirk Cousins was under center, and if I'm wrong on this, correct me, it feels like knowing what Zach Robinson wants to accomplish offensively, it feels like you did not see the entirety of Atlanta's playbook with Kirk under center after about 8 weeks of play. Because there was a point in time where Kirk hit a wall physically. And it obviously led to a boatload of interceptions, and it is highlighted by him being benched. But with Michael Penix now under center, he's got the mobility for them to run the offense that they want to run. So I have concerns about that because, one, they haven't put it on tape a ton because guess what? They haven't been able to run it. So I worry from a preparation standpoint how prepared Washington will be. There's that. And then I also look at offensively, and we're taking your calls right now at 1-800-636-1067. Andrew Wiley ruled out with an injury. It's a groin. De'Ami Brown and Marshawn Lattimore ruled out with hamstrings. Which of those three guys do you think Washington ultimately misses the most? I told you, the guy that'll have the biggest impact that's not on the field is probably Marshawn Lattimore because it changes how they're going to play coverage-wise. It changes the aggression that we'll see from Joe Witt Jr. And we've watched every game this year together, if you guys tune in on Sundays for Burgundy and Gold Game Day Live. maybe I'm wrong, and I haven't checked the stats on this. It feels like Sunday, Joe Witt Jr. zero blitzed more than we've seen all year long, and it's a byproduct of trusting the guys on the perimeter, of trusting Mikey Samer still, of trusting Marshawn Lattimore. So this weekend with Benjamin St. Juste back in the lineup, I wonder, right, will he have the same unmitigated gall to say, the hell with it, let's send the house? Because you are still playing a rookie quarterback. And the game plan is, well, don't let Bijan Robinson beat you. And if you play fantasy football out there, you understand Bijan Robinson is going Kanye crazy all season long. It's not the type of season from an impact standpoint that we're seeing from Saquon, but he's a guy that can boogie if you give him a crease. So I would assume, right, the game plan is going to be load the box, do whatever you can to stop Bijan Robinson and make Michael Penix beat you. Here's the difference between saying, oh, we'll make Kenny Pickett beat us, and, oh, we'll make Michael Penix beat us. Michael Penix can actually do it. That's my concern. And the conditions are going to be, it's going to be 50 and raining, so it's going to be a little bit of a slop fest out there Sunday in Landover. But I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. 1-800-636-1067. The other guy that I said I would mention here that I think Washington will miss severely is De'Ami Brown. And this is the reason why. It's a very layered reason why for me. Coming into this weekend's contest, the Atlanta Falcons tied for fifth best in the National Football League when it comes to yards per attempt allowed on the ground. Fifth in the National Football League. So it's a group that actually does a pretty damn good job stopping the opposing team's rushing attack. And we know with Washington offensively, they would have run the football. Balance is needed for this group to have success. I don't want to say it's needed for this group to have success, but it's the more favorable fighting style, so to speak. It's what they want to do. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I think Washington on Sunday is going to need its rushing attack, and here's why. For one, right, coming into this one, Washington's second in the National Football League in terms of rush yards per game. Anybody that's watched this team, right, over the past 5-6 weeks can tell you, you take away some of the explosive runs, quote-unquote, that Washington's had, and their yards per carry isn't anything to sneeze at, so to speak. It feels like, to me, Washington's run game, down in, down out. There was the Tennessee game, obviously, that they were really effective. But outside of that, I think you got to go back to the Giants game and go, when's the last time they've lined up and punched somebody in the mouth running the football? I don't think you're going to get to do that against Atlanta when you consider statistically how good they've been in that category. So I think De'Ami Brown is going to be missed, because here's why. Still rocking and rolling here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest in charge, Odell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Phone lines open, 1-800-636-1067. Get you geared up for Commanders and Falcons coming up on Sunday, a game of seismic proportions as Washington looking for its first 11-win season in a long, long, long time. The 10-5 start. Best start through 15 games since 1991. We're partying like it's 1991 here in the DMV. It feels like each and every week we get to watch this team. It's an absolute treat. And I'll say right now what I say every show. I personally think this is a football team, talking about the Commanders, that admittedly has a pretty limited ceiling. And that's okay. Because it's year one of a rebuild. You know what I care about the most? And it's hard, right, when you're in the midst of a 17, 18-week grind. It's hard to take a step back and say, look, what really matters when it comes to the 2024 Washington Commanders? 27 years of age, right? For the first time in my lifetime, ownership, GM, head coach, all on the same page. And when you look at the elite teams right now in the National Football League, that's the formula. So no matter what happens the rest of the way, dub this year a success. I say all that to say this. Scared as hell about Sunday against Atlanta, and here's why. When you look at the Falcons, take the record out for a second, and they're, what, 8-7 battling for, you know, the top spot right now in the NFC South. When you look at Atlanta, and I understand last week was against the Giants, I think we, of all fan bases, should understand the type of spark a change at quarterback can have for an organization. And I think we're seeing that right now with the Atlanta Falcons, albeit it was against the lowly New York Giants. I get that. But in terms of the way that defense flew around, in terms of the way the play calling changed, and that's the thing to me that I kind of, I don't want to say concerned, but I think this week you are going to see the defensive staff, Joe Witt Jr. and company, earn their money. Because here's why. When Kirk Cousins was under center, and if I'm wrong on this, correct me, it feels like knowing what Zach Robinson wants to accomplish offensively, it feels like you did not see the entirety of Atlanta's playbook with Kirk under center after about 8 weeks of play. Because there was a point in time where Kirk hit a wall physically. And it obviously led to a boatload of interceptions, and it is highlighted by him being benched. But with Michael Penix now under center, he's got the mobility for them to run the offense that they want to run. So I have concerns about that. Because one, they haven't put it on tape a ton because guess what? They haven't been able to run it. So I worry from a preparation standpoint how prepared Washington will be. There's that. And then I also look at offensively. And we're taking your calls right now at 1-800-636-1067. Andrew Wiley ruled out with an injury. It's a groin. Deami Brown and Marshawn Lattimore ruled out with hamstrings. Which of those three guys do you think Washington ultimately misses the most? I told you, the guy that'll have the biggest impact that's not on the field is probably Marshawn Lattimore because it changes how they're going to play coverage-wise. It changes the aggression that we'll see from Joe Witt Jr. And we've watched every game this year together, if you guys tune in on Sundays for Burgundy and Gold Game Day Live. Maybe I'm wrong, and I haven't checked the stats on this. It feels like Sunday, Joe Witt Jr. zero blitzed more than we've seen all year long, and it's a byproduct of trusting the guys on the perimeter, of trusting Mikey Samer still, of trusting Marshawn Lattimore. So this weekend with Benjamin St. Juste back in the lineup, I wonder, right, will he have the same unmitigated gall to say, the hell with it, let's send the house? Because you are still playing a rookie quarterback. And the game plan is, well, don't let Bijan Robinson beat you. And if you play fantasy football out there, you understand Bijan Robinson is going Kanye crazy all season long. It's not the type of season from an impact standpoint that we're seeing from Saquon, but he's a guy that can boogie if you give him a crease. So I would assume, right, the game plan is going to be load the box, do whatever you can to stop Bijan Robinson and make Michael Penix beat you. Here's the difference between saying, oh, we'll make Kenny Pickett beat us and, oh, we'll make Michael Penix beat us. Michael Penix can actually do it. That's my concern. And the conditions are going to be, it's going to be 50 and raining, so it's going to be a little bit of a slop fest out there Sunday in Landover, but I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. 1-800-636-1067. The other guy that I said I would mention here that I think Washington will miss severely is Deami Brown. And this is the reason why. It's a very layered reason why for me. Coming into this weekend's contest, the Atlanta Falcons tied for fifth best in the National Football League when it comes to yards per attempt allowed on the ground. Fifth in the National Football League. So it's a group that actually does a pretty damn good job stopping the opposing team's rushing attack. And we know with Washington offensively, they would have run the football. Balance is needed for this group to have success. I don't want to say it's needed for this group to have success, but it's the more favorable fighting style, so to speak. It's what they want to do. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I think Washington on Sunday is going to need its rushing attack, and here's why. For one, right? Coming into this one, Washington's second in the National Football League in terms of rush yards per game. Anybody that's watched this team, right, over the past 5-6 weeks can tell you, you take away some of the explosive runs, quote-unquote, that Washington's had, and their yards per carry isn't anything to sneeze at, so to speak. It feels like, to me, Washington's run game, down in, down out. There was the Tennessee game, obviously, that they were really effective. But outside of that, I think you got to go back to the Giants game and go, when's the last time they've lined up and punched somebody in the mouth running the football? I don't think you're going to get to do that against Atlanta when you consider statistically how good they've been in that category. So I think De'Ami Brown is going to be missed, because here's why. With a light box, we're going to play a bunch of coverage. And let's see if your guys can create separation. Let's see if your guys can find the holes in these zones. I'll say this, though. In terms of success versus zone and success versus man, Jaden Daniels has been lights out against both of those defenses. But the difference to me is when teams go man against Washington, our guys' inability to create separation on the perimeter really changes the dynamic of things. And going up against a corner group in Atlanta that's spearheaded by A.J. Terrell, one of the best young corners in football, D. Alford, for my money, one of the best slots in the National Football League, they've got some guys that can get pretty sticky, so to speak, in coverage. And I worry about Washington's ability to create separation on a down-in, down-out basis, especially when you consider, right, they're going to be without De'Ami Brown. So who's going to step up in this wide receiver core? K.J. Osborne was inactive last week, stunned the hell out of me, right? Felt as if, oh, this was the week they'd get him going, they'd get him up, they'd get him active. And I'll say what I said again when they first signed K.J. Osborne. Statistically speaking, and I know Noah Brown was great here, I know he completely outkicked his coverage in terms of the impact that he brought. But statistically speaking, K.J. Osborne is the more decorated of the two receivers between K.J. and Noah Brown. From a physicality standpoint, Noah's giving you more in the run game, I give you that. But in terms of just going out, getting open, and making big-time catches, that is what K.J. Osborne's done in that wide receiver three role throughout his career to this point. So he's going to have to step up Sunday. I know we all keep waiting for the other shoe to drop on Luke McCaffrey. Newsflash. Jamison Crowder comes back into the lineup after being on IR for weeks ahead of Luke McCaffrey on the depth chart. So it kind of shows you, and it's no knock against Luke. This is a converted quarterback turned wide receiver. There is some maturation that still needs to happen with Luke before I think they trust him as a down-in, down-out player. But my other guy is De'Ami Brown. I have serious reservations about guys outside of Terry being able to create separation on a consistent basis. Now, the thing that was beautiful against Philadelphia is Jaden has every week 7 or 8 throws that make your jaw drop. But against Philadelphia, there were some tight window throws, I will admit, but put that cliff to bed, so to speak. Because for him to be able to scheme open Jamison Crowder in Olamide Zaccheaus, it's impressive. It's impressive. So I think you'll see it happen again this weekend. When you look from a coverage standpoint, Atlanta plays a lot of zone. Stylistically, they're similar to how Philadelphia likes to play with that like match zone principles. But Atlanta doesn't have the horses in the back end that Philadelphia has. And it's crazy because if you would have said that before the season, they probably would have piss tested me and said, huh? What are you talking about? But that is one concern I do have in this game. How does Washington move the football in the passing game? Because I don't think the run game is going to be very effective. I don't. Atlanta's done a good job stopping the run all year long. But we'll get your calls in here. 1-800-636-1067. De'Ami Brown ruled out with injury. Andrew Wiley ruled out with injury. Marshawn Lattimore ruled out with injury. Which one do you think Washington misses the most Sunday? Josh is in Alexandria. What's going on, Josh?
What's up, Linnell?
What's going on, brother?
So, I mean, you touched on it, but, I mean, we're not going to miss Lattimore because we've missed him all year, right? So we can't really miss him on Sunday. I know people are talking about us kind of hitting a lull running the football early on. We were dominant. Look at what was happening. Big Corn Lucas was getting in there and getting a lot of playing time. So with him stepping in for Wiley, maybe that can reignite the run game, and it's going to be a wet, sloppy type deal. Like, we're going to have to run the football. But it's De'Ami Brown, man, because outside of Terry, like, yeah, Zacchaeus and Crowder, McCaffrey getting involved is cool, but those guys aren't going to pop for a 50-yard bomb at any time, and that's what De'Ami gives you.
Yeah.
With him out, we don't have that element.
I agree, and I appreciate the call, Josh. When I look at Alameda Zacchaeus, when I look at Jamison Crowder, guys that are more known for their short area quickness, right now, Terry's the only guy that's going to be active that can take the top off of this thing. And I have genuine concerns about how Atlanta's going to defend him. Because when you have Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, A.J. Terrell, can you say bracket coverage? That's what old Tear Bear is going to be seeing a lot on Sunday. Dimitri's in Waldorf. What's going on, Dimitri?
Linnell, my guy.
What's going on, brother?
Calling all the way from the woods, man, in Waldorf. Hey, look.
Calling from Afghanistan.
Hey, look, man, I honestly don't think we're going to miss anybody for real. Honestly, like, Cornelius Lucas is not a scrub.
No.
I like what the first caller said. We haven't really – Marshawn Lattimore hasn't really played all year. For those haters out there that hate Benjamin St. Juice, and for those people in our fan base who has that new nickname for him called Benjamin St. Booty Juice, let me tell y'all something,
whoa, man. Whoa. Did you just debut that here live on Overtime? I haven't heard that one.
Oh, my gosh. It's the new name they're calling them. That's Benjamin St. Booty Juice.
And you know what? Let me say this to y'all as fans, Dimitri. And I'm sorry that it feels like, if you feel like this is directed at you, it's not.
It's not directed
it's
at
not,
me.
This is not directed at you, but this is my message to the fan base. What the hell is wrong with y'all, man?
For real?
What is wrong with y'all? There are guys. These are guys that we need down the stretch. You know he a young pup. You know he's scrolling on social media. He sees it. Benjamin St. Juice, if you're listening, I found the burner Instagram account. It's Public Enemy Number One on IG. Oh, look it up. That's where he posted all the cute pictures in his uniform. Pause.
Sheesh.
All right, came out crazy. But you get what I'm saying.
Yo, he has a chip on his shoulder, and he's going to prove – he was a starter at the beginning of the year, and then he got benched for someone who came in on another team. I'm telling you, he's going to have the game of his life. He's going to play lights out. This is a bold prediction. He's going to get a game-winning interception on Sunday.
Dimitri, pull me up on what you having tonight, bro, man. Wow.
Man, game-winning. Hey, but
he has the ball skills of Stevie Wonder. Do you think he's going to catch a pick?
Stevie caught one.
Dimitri, I got to let you go, brother. We're up against the clock. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll put three Commanders under the microscope. Which three Commanders need to play their best in order for Washington to win on Sunday? And you'll be surprised who one of my three guys are. We'll segue off of that as we roll throughout the 7 o'clock hour. Make sure, a little programming note for you, we'll go behind enemy lines, top of the 8 o'clock hour. Our pal Carl Dukes, who covers the Atlanta Falcons for 92.7 The Game in Atlanta, going to join us. We'll get the skinny on our opponent. What do we got to worry about with Atlanta coming up on Sunday? Carl Dukes tells us that top of the 8 o'clock hour. When we come back, more of your calls, 1-800-636-1067. Coming up in about a half hour, our pal Carl Dukes, who covers the Atlanta Falcons for 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, going to join the program. Give us a look behind enemy lines as we get geared up for a seismic showdown Sunday between Washington and Atlanta. Two rookie quarterbacks squaring off with a lot on the line for both of these teams. Our pal Carl Dukes will join us at 8 to preview all of that. Before we get out of the 7 o'clock hour, a couple of things I want to touch on. First, I want to continue to take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. Of the three everyday starters that have been ruled out for Washington, Marshawn Lattimore with a hamstring, same hamstring, by the way, that cost him a couple of games when he first got to Washington, He's out. Dyami Brown out with a hamstring. Andrew Wiley out with a groin injury. Of those three everyday starters, whose absence do you think Washington ultimately feels the most? 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Jupe out of West Virginia. Wants to tap in. What's going on, Jupe?
What's happening, Linnell?
What's going on,
man,
brother?
Man, listen. You was talking real good the other day. Now you back on the you unsure, man. Didn't Timothy Daniels show you why you should have some faith in this game coming up this Sunday?
I do have faith. Hold on now, Juke. This way y'all get me confused. I do have faith. I just got to tell it to you how a T.I. is, baby. I'm going to give you both sides of it all the ways. Always.
I get it. You're doing your job. You got to ask those tough questions. I get it. But I'm going to tell you this, though. Out of those three players, we ain't missing nobody. I would say the one player that we're really missing right now is Austin Ekeler. But with the emergence of Jamison Crowder, look at how he's been acting since he's came into play. You see he's slowly building that rapport with Timothy Daniels. Saints game, Timothy he made Daniels. Some crucial catches. Last game, two crucial touchdown catches. And not to mention, let me ask you this. Do you feel a lot less nervous with him returning punt returns?
Oh, for sure. Man, every time Alameda Zacchaeus was back there, I say a prayer.
Hell yeah. Now we got Crowder. Even when he had that bobble punt return, I'm like, nah, he got it. He good. So with that being said, we're going to win this game. I'm not sleeping on ATL. Pennis is coming in here. He's coming in with a chip on his shoulder. He got something to prove. But we got Timothy Daniels back there. It's not going to be a cakewalk. But we're going to pull out this win, my guys. So, you know, I got faith.
So I'm Googling it right now because I don't know because I'm not that cool and don't got that type of money. But I'm looking up the best strip clubs in Atlanta. I'm going to tell Carl Dukes. We got Carl Dukes from Atlanta on at 8. Take Michael Penix's ass to the best strip club in Atlanta before he gets on the flight to come here to D.C. I don't need him in his proper state of mind. It's Magic City. How did I not know that? Magic City, King of Diamonds, you name it. You get Michael Penix distracted, maybe you'll have a shot Sunday. No, that's the real thing about it to me. My other concern that I wanted to bring up, and it's not really a concern, it's just a part of the analysis of the game here. Washington's rush offense, statistically, right? That's why I say numbers can be dangerous. Contextually speaking, Washington's run game kind of hit a little bit of a lull going all the way back to that second meeting in East Rutherford against New York. If we've got it ready, Cliff Kingsbury actually spoke Thursday during his presser and kind of gave you the skinny on why Washington's having some of the struggles that it's having currently in the run game.
What little things are happening in the game that you think could be cleared up by practice?
Yeah, I think just a little bit too much paralysis by overanalysis. You know, if you're going to make a mistake, we got to make it full speed. It's the picture is going to change. Defense are going to do different things, show different fronts. But I feel like there's some hesitation. We've got a bunch of smart guys up there that have done a great job sorting things out. But I feel like we're not just firing and we're kind of waiting at this point. And it's like, hey, we're going to cut it loose, play downhill. If we make a mistake, we'll go full speed and let the backs play off of it.
Hey, if that isn't a coordinator sending a pretty strong message to his offensive line, then I don't know what is. One thing I've loved and appreciated each and every Thursday, both Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt Jr., I think, continue to be just as open, honest, and transparent that you need to be, man. It has been an ugly Commanders rush offense over the last 6 or so weeks. In 5 of the last 6 games, and this is from our guy, Jamal Forrest. Make sure you check out the Trapper Dive podcast. He does an absolutely tremendous job. Writer for Hogshaven, one of my guys. Does a tremendous job. He put out this stat, and I couldn't agree more. It feels like it watching it in real time. In 5 of the last 6 games, Washington's backs have averaged 19 carries for 58 yards. It's not very good. And I go back to last weekend against Philadelphia. That, to me, was the first time I saw this team live and die by the drop-back passing game. And honestly, I'll be real, I was telling the producers in studio, like, it's no slight or shot at Jaden Daniels. It's not at all, because he clearly is him. I don't think Washington has the infrastructure to support him in a drop-back passing game week in and week out. It's a lot to ask out of a makeshift offensive line and out of a receiving core that isn't flush with marquee talent. Just is what it is. But the run game for Washington, to me, really has been a problem for a little while now. Like I said, go back to the game last weekend against the Philadelphia Eagles. And Cliff Kingsbury kind of said it this week. Hey, look, we don't want to play that way, but we can play that way when Jaden is playing at this level. The rush numbers on its surface, right, look pretty darn good for Washington last week. 24 carries, 113 yards, 4.7 yards a pop. Those numbers on its surface make you go, Washington's running the football pretty well. You take away the 29-yard scramble that Jaden Daniels had, and it was 23 carries for 84 yards. That's 3.5 yards a pop. Not good enough. For a team that was averaging 5 yards a pop earlier in the year, it's a stark contrast. It just is to this point. And it's not just this game. Like I said, it's been five or six games in a row, it feels like. When you take away the big run, Washington's run defense really struggled. I even go back to the New Orleans game. New Orleans, heading into that weekend, had the worst rush defense in the National Football League. I know we don't like to have revisionist history. You go back to the Saints game. That weekend, New Orleans boasted the worst run defense in football, yet Washington, despite what the numbers say, right, because the numbers make it look cute, was Doc Walker like to say, it's like putting lipstick on a pig. It was 35 carries for a buck 37. On its surface, it's 4 yards a pop. And I'm no math major. I'm just a product of Montgomery County Public Schools. 4 yards a pop will get you a first down 7 days out of the week and twice on Sundays. So you love that mantra, but you take out Brian Robinson's 20-yard run and Jaden Daniels' 24-yard run, and the rush numbers look a hell of a lot different, right? It's, and I'm doing math on the fly here, 137 minus 44. It's 33 carries for 93 yards. Ain't very good. That's 2.8 yards a pop. You can't live like that. And it's not the straw that stirred the drink for this group offensively earlier in the year. But like I always have said with this group, I do think it's something they'll be able to overcome, and here's why. There are ways to supplement your run game, and I think Cliff Kingsbury has put on a masterclass at this. You can supplement your run game with a quick passing game. And we've seen De'Ami Brown come on as of late in the screen game. We've seen Terry McLaurin have success in the screen game. But the one thing I would say about Washington's screen game, the execution hasn't been there, right? There's a block missed here. Guys don't get out fast enough to their landmarks. So it's tough. If Washington's going to beat Atlanta Sunday, they got to get back to running the football. Because while I love watching Jaden Daniels pull out the Superman cape and put the team on his back, I don't know if it's the best course of action based off of what this team currently has. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll wrap up the calls on the injury stuff here. Craig is in Kensington. What's going on, Craig?
Hey, what's going on, Linnell?
How you doing, brother?
I'm good. See, I'm extremely worried about Marshawn Lattimore being out because I don't know what that earlier caller was on, but Benjamin St. Juice is straight booty. I am tired of watching that man play football.
Craig, calm down, brother.
He makes me so angry.
You don't think he's listening to overtime right now? You don't think he hears what you're saying?
I hope he is, because if he gets a game-sealing pick like that other caller said, I will shave my head.
Hold on, Craig. What type of lettuce you got up top, man? For you to be that comfortable shaving your head, you must not have good grain, as I like to call it.
I don't know. I mean, I got decent flow.
Okay. Talk your stuff then, man. Go ahead. You got it.
But I mean, St. Juice, gosh, I mean, the second he stepped out on that field on that fourth down, covering A.J. Brown, man, I knew it was reps.
Hey, yo, y'all are a hell of a fan base, man. Craig, I appreciate your call as always, my brother. I mean, that's tough. Max is in D.C. Max, you got an idea about how to use Luke McCaffrey? Max, you there, brother? Going once, going twice. It's a hard show to get in on, brother. You better relish your opportunities. We'll take a quick timeout. I want to ask this question, though, before we hit the break. You can chime in at 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me, too. It's at NELL_BTP. One, are you concerned at all about Washington's rush offense? And then two, with Brian Robinson putting the football on the turf twice Sunday, would you consider allowing Chris Rodriguez to start eating into some of Brian Robinson's carries? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Fan. One 800 636 1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Friday night edition of Overtime. Keeping you entertained and up the speed as you get ready to hit whatever bar you're going to out there tonight. Make sure you're driving safe and drinking responsibly and tuning in to Overtime, man. 10 minutes from now, Carl Dukes, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, going to join the program. We'll go behind enemy lines and get the skinny on what to expect from the Atlanta Falcons Sunday when they come to Washington to take on the Commanders in a game that is just littered with playoff implications. Falcons currently fighting tooth and nail with the Tampa Bay Bucks for that first place spot in the NFC South. And then, as we know, Washington trying to maintain a stranglehold on that seven seed in the NFC. 1-800-636-1067. Are you concerned about Washington's rush offense? Are you concerned about Washington's rush offense? I gave you the numbers a moment ago. For the Commanders' running backs, now Jayton's been a godsend and has been able to create these explosives that have kind of skewed the numbers to a degree. But in five of the last six games, the Washington running backs, and this stat via our guy Jamal Forrest from Trapper Dive. For the Commanders running backs, they've averaged 19 carries for 58 yards over the past six games. Not very good. Not very good. And last week, it feels like the run game problems were put under the microscope because Brian Robinson put the ball on the carpet twice, something that you can't have happen. And you know what annoyed the hell out of me? And I'll be real with you, and I said it during Burgundy and Gold Game Day Live. We were out at Tom's Watch Bar at MGM National Harbor. When Fox showed Brian Robinson on the bench with the towel over his head, I almost threw my headset off. It's one of those things that I can't stand, right? And you all know I claim myself to be a bigger athlete than I actually was, right? Played a little Division III football, got recruited to play some Division II football. I've been in the locker room, so to speak. When you see a guy faced with adversity like Brian Robinson was, and that's how he responds, towel over the head, hiding, basically, distraught. I considered him one of the leaders on this football team. When you think about what B-Rob has been through to this point in his career, it's kind of disappointed in his reaction. And they sat him down for a majority of that third quarter. But I think what impressed me with him and why I would probably not mess with his carries or touches, he came in the fourth quarter on those scoring drives, those three scoring drives, and blocked his ass off in pass pro. And the thing I love about that, remember when B-Rob first got to town, you were taking him out on third down because of the lack of pass protection prowess. I think he's been awesome in that category this year. Helps when you're in the room with Jeremy McNichols and Austin Eckler, two of the best in our sport at that, you know, pass blocking thing. But are you concerned about the Commanders' rush offense? And then with B-Rob putting it on the carpet twice, it's a fair question. Any chance you allow Chris Rodriguez to begin eating into some of Brian Robinson's touches? 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Vic in Ackakee. What's going on, Vic?
What's up, Lunel?
What's going on, Vic? How you doing?
I'm not particularly concerned. I feel that we played against a really good defense last week. We got into some situational football where we had to pass the ball and stay above the sticks, stay above the scoreboard with the Saints. We still had some productive running, I say, over the past six games that wouldn't make me worried about it. What I will say is I think Chris Rodriguez is just as good as Brian Robinson, if not better, to the hole and through the hole. I believe Chris Rodriguez is a little more explosive. I believe he's a little more agile and mobile, moving left to right and then moving left to right to move forward. He's not as big as Brian Robinson, so naturally his inertia doesn't allow him to fall forward as violently as Brian Robinson does. But Chris Rodriguez finishes runs moving forward. Not only that, he's faster than Brian Arakpo, and he accelerates. And he accelerates. He accelerates through the hole faster than he does too. Brian Robinson is featured more. He gets more carries. So it makes it look as though he is the man. But Chris Rodriguez has shown when he's featured, Chris Rodriguez can get down pile up yards on the ground. So I'm not particularly worried. I think when all of the running backs by committee have had opportunities to show what they can do between the tackles and on the edge, they've done it. But with my naked eye, I am more of a ooh and ah. I'm more pleased to watch Chris Rodriguez run the football than I am of the three running backs.
That's it, Chris.
Go ahead, Lene, I'm sorry.
No, I was about to say that's interesting, brother. We got to hit the clock. We got Carl Dukes coming up top of the hour. But it's interesting, man, because Chris Rodriguez, I'll be honest with you. I was critical of the pick last year. I was. And I'm the type dude, man. I've been through a lot of trials and tribulations in my own life. So when I say what I'm about to say, don't try to paint me as some hypocrite. Based on the culture of this organization last year, them drafting Chris Rodriguez, to me, didn't make a whole lot of sense. Guy that was fresh off a DUI in his final year at Kentucky, had problems putting the ball on the carpet. I didn't like the pick. He's worked his tail off, though. He's overcome some adversity with this staff, and they've built a trust in him to where, you know, he's the next man up. In terms of the run game and in my concern, I am concerned. And for Cliff Kingsbury to come out and say what he said, I don't know if you all speak coach, so to speak, right? But that was him calling out this Commander's offensive line. He basically came out and said straight up, they aren't firing off the football consistently. See, there's so many elements of a run game. There are the receivers blocking, there are the tight ends blocking, there's the line blocking, there's the backs having the vision to pick the correct hole, but he decided to tell the media publicly that the issue with the run game is the offensive line. And if Tyler Biadasz, Nick Allegretti, Cosme, Lucas, and Brandon Coleman don't take that personally, I'm going to question the toughness of this group. He straight up said it. They're not firing off the football and going and hitting people. There's a certain host that gets the night shift a lot that's mentioned this over the past couple of weeks. I chalk it up to Washington struggling against penetrating defensive tackles that get upfield. Jalen Carter's that type of guy. Keanu Benton in the Pittsburgh game was that type of guy. Also Diggy Zuwa against Dallas was that type of guy. Brian Brisee, another Montgomery County cat, was that guy that wrecked the game against New Orleans, and they couldn't block him up front. Mind you, Mike Dieter was in, and he didn't play very well, but Nick Allegretti has been suspect in the run game as well. So we'll see ultimately, you know, how successful they are running the football. But I'll tell you like this, with the conditions being a little rainy, I think it's going to be paramount that they get back to having real success on the ground. 1-800-636-1067. Little's out in Bowie. What's going on, Little?
Big fella, shout out to your man, Ben.
What's going
hey,
on,
look,
man?
Man, I'm going to tell you how you put a little pepper in it. Put a little pepper in that running game, man. Look, I call the kid White Chocolate. Put him back there as a flanker back right now, and let that boy do some of the routes, run some of the route Eckler that was running, and watch how you pump things up.
Little, you remember during training camp? You remember during training camp the video I put out on social media of?
Yeah, I hope you're listening, Clean Kingsbury. Get that boy some flanker back calls out of the backfield and let him show you what he can do. Amen. God bless y'all. Stay up.
Appreciate you, my man.
I hope you got us losing, Lanell, because every time we pull it out, I'll be listening to you.
I'll give you my official Commanders and Falcons prediction before we get out of here. And if you haven't been tuned in to your boy, first of all, you're making a terrible mistake. But two, was I wrong? I gave them a 30% chance to win going into Philadelphia. And I got attacked for it. People called me a hater. Little do you all know, I bleed burgundy and gold. I'm an addict for the Washington Commanders. They shocked the world last weekend. Will they be able to do it again? Falcons and Commanders coming up Sunday. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, our pal Carl Dukes, 92-9 the game in Atlanta, joins us. So give us the skinny on the Dirty Birds next here on The Fan.